And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray, along with Corey Sandin today. Ricky's still under the weather, and boy, will we have a great guest in the studio here. Fresh off the Islanders, Captain John Conniff literally just stepped away off the boat and has a fresh report for you. So you stay tuned. This is Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. Fishdope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Fishdope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. Fishdope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. Fishdope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have fishdope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new fishdope.com membership. Check it out today. Fishdope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. If there's one thing we like, it's choices. And at your San Diego County Ford dealers, you can find yours with the all-new 2024 Ford F-150 and a range of powertrain options. Whether it's a gas engine with the best-in-class towing, powering up with the F-150 hybrid and the available Pro Power on board, or the all-electric F-150 Lightning. What you choose to do with that much power is up to you. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Visit your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
There are moments that change our perception of what is and isn't possible. Cosmic shifts where the stars align with the earth to alter how we see the world. The release of King Tide is one of those moments. This is the crowning achievement of Costa's 40-year legacy on the water. The culmination of every innovation and lessons learned up until this point. Wins and losses and highs and lows have brought us here to stand witness to a legacy brought to life. To achieve the ultimate potential on the water. Costa King Tide. Rule the water.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And man, it's just that time of the year. May gray, but the fish are biting. And
the
it's
fish
just,
are biting.
Yeah, I love it. And thank you, Corey, for being here today. And great to see everybody at the CCA event last night, honoring Captain Frank Lopresti. It was so fantastic.
Such an honor.
It was great to see over 200 people there.
Incredible.
And supporting CCA and the apps and taps for the San Diego chapter. And I'll tell you what, the San Diego chapter did such a great job. David, Arnie, the whole crew there. It takes an army to do that event, and the whole crew of CCA San Diego did a fantastic job.
It was awesome to hear.
Super good event, and what a great honor for Frank to get the Beacon Award from CCA San Diego chapter. He was very touched. I can say that for sure.
Oh, cool.
Brian Kiyohara, Art Taylor, Tim Ekstrom, Bart Hall, all gave speeches. It was really very moving event, and really a great honor for a great man, Frank Lopresti. So those of you that missed it, sorry. And so good to see people supporting CCA California too.
I have one question.
Yeah.
How was Jeff Sushi on a roll?
Jeff was Sushi on a roll. He had a 80 pounder from the Polaris Supreme sitting on his table that he was like cutting down and feeding people with.
Man.
Yeah. 80 pound bluefin that just literally just came off the Supreme. So yeah, it was some good eating there too. And Captain Dan's pizza was fantastic. There was some smoked meats there from, I think it was called the
Brickyard in Poway that was fantastic.
Sounds delicious.
God. It was, yeah, the food was good. Dozens of different beers and spirits there.
And it's incredible. It's all for a $75 ticket.
Yeah, and you get free, included is the $40 membership to CCA.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so it was a good event. And,
awesome deal.
And a really nice venue, too, that Marina Village right next to Seaforth. So
are they going to have it there again, you think?
I hope so, because it was a good event.
It's friendly on parking. It's friendly to get to.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Wedding City over there. There must have been like four weddings going on when we were there.
Was Pete Holmes a wedding crasher? Or
yeah,
what?
I guess. Yeah, it was good. But, hey, Captain John, just literally, I was watching through my binos. Is that really John driving the boat there, backing it in? And sure enough, it was. So you literally just backed the Islander into your slip and got off a day-and-a-half trip?
Two-day trip.
All right. Yeah. You've left Friday morning, I think. Friday morning.
Sunday, yeah. Friday, 11
yeah.
o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, Friday. Beautiful weather.
Weather was good.
Yeah. Yeah. And some fish.
Yeah, we caught fish. I would qualify the last 2 days as challenging. You definitely have to work at it. It was not easy.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the way it goes with this kind of fishing. Yeah. Nighttime fishing, all nighttime fish.
Yeah. And it's been that kind of season where big hits and then no hits. Kind of like the Padres.
Yeah, it definitely it is.
Yeah.
Ouch, Pete.
Yeah.
But the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ebbs and flows. There'll be a couple good days of very good fishing and a couple days where it's either trying to get them relocated or you just don't see the volume that was seen a few days before. And it just, I don't know. That's not all that uncharacteristic of fishing this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah, and pretty much everything at night.
Yes. Yeah. There was a very tiny amount of fish caught during the day yesterday. I think the day before, I don't even know of a fish caught during the day before. But, yeah, 99.9% of what we caught, what anybody caught was at night.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So what do you recommend anglers come out with? What's the go-to deal when you're doing a trip on the Islander?
You know, for these trips right now, for sure, heavy gear. You got to have a big setup, whether you own one or whether you rent one, like 100-pound minimum, nighttime, flatfall. Obviously, you got to bring your gear for the daytime, too, because that's going to change. At some point, we're going to start getting waxed during the day, so you're 30, 40-pound. We noticed the last few days, nighttime flatfalling, like a smaller jig setup has been super effective. You know, like a
smaller,
like 100, 150 gram, 200
Ooh,
gram.
Yeah, really?
Light. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because Mike from the Tribute called in, and that's what he, yesterday, and that was his recommendation, was they had fish that were higher in the water column, and the first stop or two, the guys were dropping through them faster than, you know, with the heavier jigs.
Yeah. We, you know, like especially the first night, we had a couple schools where we caught some fish. But the way it looks, you know, in the wheelhouse on the machines, it looks like you should be catching a bunch. Where they stick to the boat, but it's really, really hard to get a bite. And it's dropping down to a smaller jig has seemed to be the most effective way to get a bite. It was, you know, really, really, it looks like you'd have 10, 15 fish going, but instead you're trying hard to just hook one. And that seemed to be the trick.
Yeah.
It's hard to get people to switch over to smaller lures.
Yeah.
I think we pounded it in a lot of fishermen's heads that you need that bigger tackle, and that's what a lot of people have in their tackle boxes. And they didn't have
the smaller jigs.
Some did not.
So most of the bites are on the sink on the fall.
Yeah.
On those smaller jigs. So yesterday we had Blaine from Shimano on, and he was talking about the difference between slow pitch jigs and speed jigging, and the heavier jig speed jigging, slow pitch being the smaller jigs, and the way that they fall and there. So if you missed yesterday's show,
you need to listen to it
on our Let's Talk Hookup app, because you can learn a lot about the difference between the two jigging. He's really quite the expert on that, and I didn't know what that was. You know, the difference between speed jigging and slow pitch and the different. I have lots of different jigs, but
and
the way that they fall and the way that the fish eat,
different style of rods too.
Yes.
He was describing.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
So the people that caught fish on this trip were the guys that were kind of tuned in with that smaller jig, the slow pitch method.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, we caught fish on bigger jigs as well, but you know, there were a couple guys that had multiple fish, or they get a couple fish out of a stop, and they were on those smaller jigs.
Yeah. Any bait fish?
No.
No. It's all jigs.
No, we stopped on one pretty good school yesterday morning where they boiled up pretty good and put on
really?
A show. We never got a bite, though.
Wow. Really? Being bluefin again.
I like so bluefin.
Yeah.
Standard.
Yeah. And grade of fish?
The couple that we caught last night, well, I think it was like a 140 and a 120,
ooh,
and then the fish the night
beautiful
before were like 40 to 60 pounders.
Okay, so
yeah,
couple different
good
schools.
Great, there's smaller fish, there's 20, 30 pound fish mixed in. We didn't stop on any of those, but yeah, it's across the spectrum. There were fish up to 200 pounds. We didn't catch any 200 pounders, but I think there were a couple caught.
Wow. So
yeah,
mixed grade of fish, kind of nice.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's the schedule for the Islander here coming up?
We are pretty much day and a half, a 2-day, and a 3-day every week going through the rest of May. And then, I mean, that's pretty much our schedule for the whole season.
Yeah.
Day and a half, 2 days, and 3-day trips. 2 days, honestly, that's the ticket right now, or a 3-day trip.
Why a 2-day versus a day and a half?
It's just that nighttime departure on day and a half makes it challenging, especially when you're fishing, you know, beyond 60 miles. Because, dude, sometimes those 3 hours after dark are super critical to be on scene and to be fishing right out of the gates when the sun goes down. A day and a half trip, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So we got in on that on our last trip where we showed up at like 3 in the morning, and that makes it tough. I mean, right now, fishing is at night. We catch our fish at night, period. Yeah. That's the way it is.
Rest during the day, fish at night.
Yeah, and again, that's going to change, but that's just the way the fishery is right now. You catch your fish at night, so the ability to be there for a full night is, in my opinion, the most critical thing.
So on a 2-day, what time are you leaving?
We leave at 11 o'clock, so we were down.
Versus 4 or 6?
Versus 7. Most departures
gotcha
are at 7 for
yeah
day and a half. So yeah, we were down there at, you know, 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, in the zone.
Yes.
Before dark.
That's correct. Yeah, so the daytime departure, whether it's a 3-day or 2-day, it gives you one full night of fishing. And if you catch all your fish at night, I'd rather have one full night than one full day.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And through the whole season, that's kind of the way it'll be with the Islander. And things will change. I mean, things are, you know, typically last year, things in June, July started biting more during the day. It was early season that was nighttime stuff, and then started biting
yeah
more during the day.
Oh, yeah. We'll be catching fish during the day again.
Yeah.
Which we look forward to.
Yeah. What's the water conditions look like out there? Water temp and stuff like
that? It was 63, 62 to 63 degrees was the water temp everywhere we caught fish.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that same generic water around, too.
Yeah.
It's just, the challenge is staying on these fish, like staying on the, whatever you want to call it, the mass. You know, I feel like the first day or the first night what we were fishing was, it was not mass. They were not big schools all over the place by any means. It felt like scraps. I think yesterday, during the day, some of the guys that were up above us definitely found more volume of fish, which is why the whole feed gravitated toward that area.
Kind of
for the night.
Started
yeah
south a little bit, and I kind of gravitated north.
Yeah, we rolled up like 40-something miles yesterday during
wow
the day.
Wow.
Definitely better sign. So it's just a matter of... It's a matter of spending your day trying to stay where the fish are so that you're prepared when the sun goes down.
Stuff is moving.
Goes. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us about the Islander, one of my favorite boats to fish on.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smooth riding.
Yeah. He's a Dittmar Donaldson, beautiful mahogany double plank boat, very comfortable, stateroom accommodations. Yeah, God, I've owned it for 20 years. So I'm
have you really?
Really?
Yeah.
20 years?
This will be... I think this is my 21st season.
Incredible.
Yeah, she's a great boat.
She
really
is.
Good boat.
And I've fished aboard of her many times. It was originally the Red Rooster 3, right? Many years ago, is that right?
Red Rooster 2.
Red Rooster 2, yeah. And was it built by Lee Palm? What did he?
I think he commissioned it.
Commissioned it, yeah.
Dittmar Donaldson built it.
Dittmar.
There's a lot of Dittmar Donaldsons in
yeah
this fleet.
Searcher, the Liberty,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Searcher, Liberty, Tribute.
Yeah.
Oceanside 95. There's quite a few of them.
Yeah.
San Diego.
And they're yeah. And they're built solid. Wooden
they're
boats.
They're great boats, yeah. They are.
Pretty amazing.
Nobody's making new plank mahogany planks on sport fishing boats these days.
That's for sure.
Nobody has that that amount of millions in their back pocket.
No, or access to that wood.
Yeah,
right.
Can't
exist anymore.
Yeah. A lot of people's favorites, because what's your normal load? What do you take on a day and a half, 2 day?
We take 28. 3 day, we take 26. It's a really good setup for 2 and 3 day trips.
Oh, it is.
You know, it's spacious. It's
staterooms.
Staterooms, enough fish hold space, fuel bay, and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No. So I think it's perfect for the trips that we're doing right now.
Oh, yeah. Super comfortable. You have Wi-Fi on the boat available for the passengers. And
I have it available in the wheelhouse right now.
On a need-to-know basis. Okay.
If you need Wi-Fi, come up and talk to me.
Come and talk to you. Yeah, I got you. All right. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today. A lot to talk about with Captain John Conniff from the Islander.
Super cool, man, having him in studio. He literally stepped in studio a minute before the show. So I mean, having him fresh off the boat.
You're at this studio, the old studio I wouldn't have
been. But that's what's cool about being in the world headquarters, overlooking everything. And hey, if you want to join us today, having John in studio is super cool. 213-432-1090 is the telephone number, or you can send us a text via the app. I hear them coming through continuously here this morning.
Oh,
so keep them coming
through.
And you're going to want to. And you're going to want to leave your name, your name and telephone number on the text, too, so we can get back to you. John is super cool, man. This super soulful guy is giving away a soulful deal here. A day and a half or a two-day trip for one individual on the Islander in the month of May. So the next few weeks here, a couple weeks. You can get on any trip on the Islander that's an open party trip.
Day and a half or 2 day.
Going to one lucky caller or one lucky texter. We're going to have John flip a coin at the end of the show. And again, I'll give you the numbers. 213-432-1090 or text us via the app. We're going to be right back. More with John from the Islander when we return on the Let's Talk Cook Up app. The Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Anyone that's been to the East Cape knows Smokey's Curing Company Cantina, the best food and drink in Los Barriles, and a fun place to hang out and watch your favorite sporting event. If you're lucky, you probably had Smokey's process your fish to take home. Their quality and service is top-notch. You'll see me at Smokey's Cantina hanging out with the owner, Chris, and my buddies when fishing in the East Cape. And we always send our fish to be processed at Smokey's, too. Now Chris has added one of the finest boats in the East Cape available for you to charter for a day or more of fishing. Vaquera. It's an immaculate 35 Cabo with a Seakeeper and Captain Diego Romero, one of Baja's best. If you're looking for a great charter boat when fishing at Palmas, Playa, or other resorts, Vaquera, booked at BajaSmokies.com, should be your choice. So, when you're headed to the East Cape, be sure to stop by Smokies Curing Company Cantina. Send your fish to be processed there and fish aboard the 35 Cabo Vaquera. Check BajaSmokies.com for more details.
Good morning, anglers. This is Bob Cook, captain of the Fat Tuna from the hit Nat Geo television show Wicked Tuna. The tuna are biting in San Diego, and right now, I would like to invite you to come fishing with me on the Liberty for the annual two-day Tuna Wars trip on June 25th and 26th. This trip is a wonderful opportunity to support Friends of Rollo, as all the proceeds raised benefit the Rollo program to take more kids fishing. If you would like to join me on this adventure, please contact Howard at RolloKids.org for more information or visit RolloKids.org. If you can't make the trip, plan on attending the captain's reception on Sunday, June 23 at Dana Landing, where you can meet me as well as Captain Dave Marciano and Nancy Marciano of the Hard Merchandise. The three of us are looking forward to meeting you and sharing this great evening. See you all soon.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hard-working crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing AFCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, AFCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, AFCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from AFCO. Any fish, any water.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having John from the Islander in here is super, super cool. And
super cool.
Giving away a day and a half or a 2 day in the month of May here, so if you're a lucky caller or a lucky texter, you definitely want to give us a call or send a text, and the number 213-432-1090.
Open or, right now.
Yeah, right, one open line, it's all yours.
JP's man in the phones today, thanks JP for being there.
JP's the man.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump into those phones.
Let's do it. How about Tom? Tom Cullen from University City. Good morning, Tom.
Did we lose Tom?
Well, while we're waiting for that, why don't we go to a text?
I have a text, a great one here from Mark in Canton, Ohio. And he says, good morning, guys. I have a question for John. Always loved the ride on that Ditmar and was wondering about what the Islander has for amenity and the types of trips you offer in the fall. I'm booking a trip from out of town to come to town.
Oh, okay. Amenity?
Yeah, amenities on the boat, like a shower.
So it's, it's all staterooms on the boat. Everybody's got air conditioning and a sink and drawers down there, so the accommodations are nice. We have got a nice galley and a very, very, very good chef, cook.
He is good.
Yeah, food's good. Put a new ice maker in there, soda machine, nice heads. I mean, it's a very comfortable boat, I think, you know.
Coffee available all day, and
and
showers and the, each stateroom has their own sink and mirror.
That's correct. And in the fall we're kind of same schedule, 2 and 3 day trips. That's pretty much become our run now. We don't really do any of those 4 or 5 day trips anymore. Mostly day and a half, 2 and 3 day trips, which a lot more 3 day trips I think in September and October than we have right now.
Yeah.
All right. I just, the galley is so nice and spacious too. I mean, I just wanted to add what I love about it. And the showers, like up in the, in the heads up top there, are so spacious. It's not like you're in a tight, crammed little phone booth, you know. It's just that everything's open and you leave the galley. It is. You leave the galley and the deck is just so spacious. You're not like tripping and stepping on everybody. And
yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a big boat.
Yeah.
It's a big boat.
I mean, you're on it every day. So, you know, for us as passengers, it's a beautiful
creature comforts. And you keep it up very, very well. You know,
we try. Yeah. We've done a lot of maintenance this year.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I want to be sure that you check out this week's edition of Western Out There News. Always loaded with great info, some big trout in there, some big tuna, big stripers, and lots of bass fishing and tuna fishing. And
that's a
Baja
big trout.
Stuff. Yeah, that's a big one. Sure, up in the Sierras. It's full season, full-blown season up in the Sierras now, in the Eastern Sierras. So check it out, this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. Hey, let's try and jump back in the phones. They're packing up.
Let's do it. How about Ryan? Ryan Calm from Irvine. Good morning, Ryan. Nice shot there, Pete.
Good morning, guys. I know that, you said earlier that the boat likes to go on these two-day and a half trips, but I was always wondering if the Islander would ever go out back to Guadalupe one day for those shark diving trips.
You know, it's not really up to me. That would be up to the Mexican government if they let us back in. I hard to say. We were canceled so abruptly that I have mixed feelings about sticking my foot back in that pool again. So, I mean, man, we have all the equipment. We could do it. just tough to say. As of now, we can't go there, so my mindset is pretty much we're not going to be able to go there.
Yeah, it's tough.
I do miss it. Those were fantastic trips. Yeah. That was a fun thing to do in the fall. But
it'd be easier if they do allow us to go back and go fishing there, which is still possible, still likely. You'd go fishing back there, I would hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd do anything back there. I love that island.
Yeah.
I've been to that island
cool.
a million times. It's a phenomenal place. I'd like to go back before I'm wrapped up, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. We all would, for sure.
Yeah. Things change. Yeah. It would not surprise me to find that one day, possibly in the near future, that that door opens again.
Yeah, I know the I know Ken Franke and the guys from SAC, or Frank and everybody, are working very hard to work with the Mexican people and get that happen.
Yeah,
so much income for the Mexicans. That's the
thing. It really is. That's a crazy thing.
People are willing to pay a lot of money to go to Guadalupe, and it's huge. It's millions of dollars for the Mexican government. So
and the harvest collected is such a small not even a drop in the bucket. It's just, and they're migratory fish, right? So we can go down a wormhole on this.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks for the call. 213-432-1090 just opened up with that call, and you have a great text on, Corey.
I do. Yeah. It's kind of a personal. I want to know the question too. It says, "Good morning, guys. The Islander is such a great looking boat. What is Captain John's favorite style of fishing, and how did he get into the fishing industry?" And it comes from Rory in Lakeside.
Got into the fishing industry, you know, like 25, 28 years ago, I moved down here from Northern California. I moved in with Ryan on the San Diego. That was my first roommate.
Really?
Right?
No,
yeah.
With Burger.
Yeah, I think that was like 28 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, he and I lived together with a couple other guys over in Claremont, and he got me a job on the Mission Bell. Working for Dave Iketa.
Oh, wow.
So that was my first job on the Mission Bell. I did that for a year. Then I worked for Brian and Sam on the Queen for 2 years, and then for Tim and Randy on the Royal Star for 3 years, and then I bought the boat. And, you know, I fished when I was younger. I'd make trips down here with my dad to go fishing on the Qualifier 105, so I guess that's how I got into it. But that was kind of the quick history of how I ended up where I am right now. And what was the other question?
Your favorite style of fishing.
Oh, favorite style of fishing. Oh, man, I miss albacore
fishing.
Anything
but nighttime.
I miss albacore fishing. You know, there was kind of a simplicity to that, which was pretty cool. Bluefin fishing's fun. It's super challenging, probably the most challenging fish in the ocean to catch. I do enjoy nighttime fishing. I really do, especially when it's, you know, paying dividends. Nighttime fishing is exciting. The whole process gets kind of streamlined because it's dark out and you're just focused on a sonar, and it's cool. It is really, really cool from driving the boat perspective.
The hunt.
You know, yeah. Obviously you're up all night and then you got to wake up, or you don't even wake up. You just stay up and fish all day too. So that's got its own set of challenges. But you know, when they're biting good and the boat's drifting for hours and you have a pretty reasonable shot at getting a bite and you're kind of a fast-paced plunker in good weather, I'd say that's probably my favorite style of fishing.
Yeah, talking
about everybody's favorite.
Yeah,
style
absolutely, for sure. Yeah, now your brother just, by the way, John's brother is Mitch from Mitch's Seafoods.
How cool.
And he's such a great guy and such a fantastic restaurant over there, too. Just bought my little 18 Parker, and you were pretty excited about going bay fishing. You like that bay fishing, too?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do it very often. I like to go halibut fishing. You know, I take my other boat out every now and then, do that when we get some time during the spring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll gladly use his. Yeah. His is a lot quieter and cleaner than mine.
Yeah. Well, you're a commercial lobster fisherman during the winter, right?
I am.
And spend a lot of time on the water.
Yes.
Catching crabs and lobsters, right?
Crabs and lobster right here in Point Loma.
Yeah. Do you do live fish too or no?
No, I do not have that permit.
Yeah.
Okay. But we have we just opened a fish market right down the road here, or right down the walkway here at Tunaville.
Oh, Tunaville. Okay. We're Tommy. Oh, you're involved in that
Tommy,
too.
Yeah, with Tommy, myself, my brother, Brian, Randy. So, yeah, I would imagine we'll start expanding what we catch a little bit now that we've got our own market to sell.
Okay.
To.
How cool. So, yeah, so you're partners with Tommy.
I am.
And your brother. And I Brian. Am. And Randy.
Randy and Cameron.
Wow. And Cameron's in that, too.
Yeah.
It's real fishermen.
There's a bunch of us.
Wow.
Cool.
I didn't know that that you were involved in that, too. That's cool. That's a real fisherman's fish market for sure, right?
Yeah. It made sense if you're going to be a commercial fisherman to have your own market to sell to. That's kind of the dream right there.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, hey, I have great text here from John in Rancho San Diego. He says, love the Islander. Great to hear from Captain John. John, the guy from Shimano yesterday talked about spinning reels. What are your thoughts about using high-end spinning reels like Saragossa and Twin Power on the Islander? Also, can you talk a little bit about the status of the Yellowtail out at the islands in the last few years?
So, this, you know, I have some good friends that fish with spinning reels, and they're pretty successful at it. Me, personally, it's not. I can't fish with one. It doesn't feel right in my hands. It's not a good fit for me. I know that they're capable and very good at what they do. I'll be honest, it's challenging for us, especially at night when they're biting and somebody's got a spinning reel. Main reason being is the line comes off the reel on the bottom, so you can't put it anywhere near the rail. When it comes time to deal with tangles and you're trying to get it over the anchor, you've got the line hanging off the bottom of the reel. That makes it tough in a sport fishing boat setting. I know that there's some of those reels have the drag and the capacity to wind those big fish in, and people swear by them. It's just
it hasn't been our training.
Yeah.
And you know what's amazing about that, and talking to Blaine and several of the people on the East Coast, and they absolutely think we're out of our minds for not implementing spinning tackle more often, because there's some serious advantages to torque on a spinning reel and landing fish. And I've experienced it myself, you know, using the high-end Stellas in Panama and such like that on big tuna and stuff like that. I'm still a conventional reel guy. Yeah, I mean,
just,
that's the
it
way I
feels
grew up.
Wrong
it's
in
just
my
like,
hands.
Yeah, it's just that my deal. But I mean, there's definitely something to using spinning.
And Blaine mentioned yesterday that, you know, like speed jigging, the pickup in line capacity, your picking up of line is so much greater than
it
a conventional.
Is. It definitely is. Like, they have their niche, and there's guys that are super good with those things. You know, for the last 30 something years, I've had a conventional reel in my hands. It just feels, someone hands me one and I'm like, doesn't feel right.
And
that's not to say it's not super effective for people that like to use.
And the challenges that you bring up, like having a line at the bottom, like trying to bring it around the anchor and trying to lean it on the rail, you know, using the rail, it just, that's like all out the window, right? I mean, it is.
You can't lean.
But the technology on those things has come so, I mean, back in the old days, guys would come out with spinners and
you couldn't think about it.
Everyone would give them crap on the boat, but they sucked back then, but now they're capable.
They're real deal.
And you don't need a Stella, you know, $1,000, $1,200.
He was talking about that Saragossa, which is a great reel.
Affordable.
Affordable and powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, let's jump back on the phones, Corey. You want to get through 213-432-1090, a line open right there. Have a chance to win a day and a half or a two-day trip on the Islander in May.
That's what I was going to say. Isn't that cool?
Man.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's good times right there. Let's go to Tom. Tom in Temecula. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, guys. Morning, John.
Morning.
John, I have various setups of hooks on my flatfall or knife jigs, and I have a big hook on the bottom and a couple on the top, and then I've taken the bottom hook off, and I think the one time I caught a big tuna, you know, I ended up foul hooking the thing with, maybe it was that big hook on the bottom. What is your best setup there for hooks on knife jigs? And the other question is, do you find jigging at night any different when you have a full moon going on? Okay.
So as far as the hooks, you know, we're making a batch of our own jigs right now, which I'll have on the boat. I have a couple hundred of them here in a couple weeks. The rebar jig.
I was just going to ask you. There was a text
rebar jig.
There was a text about that.
What?
Number 9?
I think it's number nine.
Yeah.
A friend of mine is putting them together. But we've been using them every year, so we decided, hey, we might as well make a bunch of our own. So we're making those, and we have, I think there's 7-0 Mustad assist hooks, and we just put 2 on the bottom. I sat the crew down. Yeah, we talked about what they like, and we have 2 hooks on the bottom. And we find that to be just as effective as the hooks on the top. I think, for us as a crew, sometimes dealing with those jigs that have 4 hooks on them and they're on the top and the bottom, it gets super sketchy when we throw those things on
the
boat.
Dangerous.
Yeah, and I don't feel like we miss fish because we've only got two on the bottom and not two on the top. With some of those big knife jigs where they've got the top hooks and the bottom hooks, a lot of times that fish will bite the two on the top and then the two on the bottom will snag the fish in the side, which, you know, isn't necessarily a bad thing. You've got multiple hooks in it, but then they come up sideways and they make it real challenging. It seems cleaner to me to have those two hooks on the bottom. So that's the way we're setting up the jigs that we're going to make, and we're going to have those on the boat this year.
Available for sale.
But truly, yeah. Nothing worse than hooking a 60-pounder in the side with a hook you didn't mean to hook him with in the side and trying to get that to the boat as you're looking at a spot a half mile away that you want to get on, right?
I mean,
that's kind of a pain. So to be able to hook him in the mouth would be the key, right?
I get the concept of as many hooks as you can get on there, but we keep it a little bit simpler than that. I think it works just as well.
And that comment about the number 9 rebar came from Mike and Yora Belinda.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a question. I've never seen a rebar jig. So it's basically just a piece of rebar, not painted or anything, and then you weld on some rings and...
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, someone gave me one a few years ago, which was just a chunk of rebar with hooks on it. And it's, you know, if you go to the tackle shop, they're selling 16-ounce sinkers or maybe 20-ounce sinkers.
Eddie bomb.
Yeah, it's the same concept. And they work good. It was our best jig on the boat. And then until somebody lost it. And then somebody came out and brought a handful of jig and other rebar jigs on another trip. And that's just all we used. And they were just as good as anything else we were fishing with.
That's hilarious.
And they're simple and they're heavy and they're compact. And you can use a smaller jig and still have 500 grams. And they get down in the water quick. Oh, they just work good.
And I might have missed it, but how the length of...
I think the ones we have right now are number 9 rebar. They're not... They're like 5 inches, but then we have some that are
number 9 rebar is pretty thick, right?
Yeah, I forget, 3/4 or something like that.
So 5 or 6 inches, I mean, it's still a pretty compact offering.
Yeah.
But it's heavy. Just heavy iron.
Heavy iron.
That's good times.
Hey, Tony has a question. He says, I always admired the Islander, but never experienced a larger vessel. The boat is quite outstanding as eye candy in the marina. What are some of the upgrades that have been made that keeps the Islander a top contender?
Well, we painted the entire outside of the boat this year at Al Larson Shipyard. Yeah, that's always a tough pill to swallow.
Ooh, man.
But, no, that makes a huge difference. That's part of why she looks good right now. We just finished painting the deck. It had been a while since we'd had a paint job, and if you got up close to it, it looked a little bit rough. So now it looks very good. You know, we have a lot of wood on the boat, you know, mahogany and teak, and we try to keep up on that. And I like wood, personally. So I think when that's all polished up and it's looking good and the boat's painted, the boat has really good lines. It has really good classic offshore tuna, saner-looking almost lines. So it's a nice-looking boat. When it's painted and the wood's done and everything, it looks pretty sharp.
Great ride, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's jump back in the phones, Corey.
Let's do it, Pete. How about Dan? Dan Cohn from West Covina. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Corey, and Captain John. It's nice to hear from you. And I'm planning to go do some bluefin fishing, and I was just going to get Captain John's recommendations about what to use for, you know, certain types of bluefin, like the daytimers. I've been prepping, you know, with 30-pound test fluoro and stuff like that, but just wanted to get his take on it. And also I've heard that the knife jigs, the smaller ones actually are working pretty well for like Captain Alley on the Polaris Supreme. So I just wanted to see what he thought, because I've been getting a bunch of 300 and 400 gram knife jigs for the big night timers. So I just wanted to see what he thought.
I would definitely get some smaller ones.
And you're talking 150?
150 small. Yeah, we have a Colt Sniper or something with, you know, where we upgraded the hooks on it and we caught a couple on that.
Oh, no kidding?
Night. Yeah.
Okay.
I would definitely, and that was the thing when I was trying to tell people, hey, let's switch over to smaller jigs, because a lot of people don't have them. You know, everyone's heavily invested in
them. Do you switch to smaller tackle, too, when you switch to the smaller
jig? No.
You're 80 still pound, 80?
Maybe.
Okay.
80 yeah.
pound at the 80 lightest.
80 pound, yeah.
Because you still could took that 200-pounder.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't even, don't go in the water with anything less than 80 pound when you're fishing a knife. But, yeah, if I were gathering up my arsenal of lures, I would definitely have some small ones mixed in there. You know, there's times where we stop and it's a good school and it spreads out and it looks right and we start hanging fish. And at that point, I think the most critical thing is just to get your jig down there as quickly as possible. That's what's going to be most effective. But there's other times where that fish, it'll hang out around the boat for an hour and maybe you only get one or two bites. It's kind of like
That's crazy.
Plunker fishing during the day, but it same kind of mentality. You know, if you scale down your tackle a little bit, and maybe those smaller jigs flutter just a little more subtly or more action in the water, that has seemed to be very effective here lately.
And those smaller slow pitch jigs, I mean, they instantly take to a flutter. I mean,
they do.
That's like my rockfish gig, right?
Yeah.
Like my whole deal. And
it's like irresistible. It's like eye candy for the fish.
It is. Well, I mean, if you lift it up a foot, it literally doesn't fall an inch before it's fluttering.
Yeah.
And it just, for the rockfish purpose, it teases the heck out of them. And so I can relate it to the bluefin that, I mean, if you've got fish at less than 100 feet of water, it's not soaring through them like a rocket.
It's not.
It's fluttering through the zone perfectly.
Yeah. And even, you know, even when these fish are deep, too, it's just that subtle change, that smaller lure.
Still productive.
It's something you want to have in your tackle box for sure. If you're going bluefin fishing here in the near future, I would have an assortment of 100 to 150 gram jigs.
Along with your heavier stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're going out today or tonight, I mean, that's something you better pick up at the landing.
The next trip on the Islander?
I think we're in tonight. I think our next trip is on Tuesday. I can't even remember, a day and a half or a two-day trip.
All right.
So it's 3 day this weekend.
So lucky caller or texter could go with you on Tuesday.
Like right now.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Hey, this is Captain Benny Florentino, owner-operator of Coastal Charters. Just want to announce that I'll be running the Camus 26 hybrid boat from West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. Hybrid being a center console with bay boat features. The boat features a Michael Peters stepped hull that'll give both myself and my guests a comfortable dry ride. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa will be carrying the 26 hybrid, 28 hybrid, and also a 34 cat. Heck, they even have some great looking bass boats. But if you have any other questions, feel free to call Nick Kelly or Kyle Mesa at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa, and we'll see you on the water.
Take it from Captain and Benny Florentino. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa is your source for Camus boats as well as Parker boats, Yamaha outboards, and now Mercury outboards. Sales and service, the finest you can find. Go see Nick and the guys at West Coast Marine on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa or check westcoastmarine.com.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader with all-inclusive fishing trips to Cedros Island. We now have two lodges to choose from and both sit on the cliff deck with relaxing ocean views and gorgeous morning sunrises. With direct flights departing from the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at CedrosSportFishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Hi, this is Christy Wheeler with Dawson & Associates Insurance, your full-service agency specializing in boat insurance, including charter, commercial, and personal-use boats, business insurance, and travel insurance. We work hard to get you the most coverage for the best prices and guarantee the lowest rates available on all the travel plans we offer. So give us a call today at Dawson & Associates Insurance at 619-460-5615 for a free quote today.
Hook up!
All right. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And having so much fun in studio today, having a good time. And you want to join us, 213-432-1090. John has come in with a super cool deal, a day and a half or a two-day trip in May. So for the next couple weeks or a little bit more, you can go on the Islander and experience Fisherman's Landing. So whether you're a lucky caller or a lucky texter, and you text the show,
get in on it.
Make sure you leave your name and telephone number on that text.
For sure. And it's time for the Catcher Boy. Let's find out what's biting.
And it's brought to us by Gamakatsu Hooks. And if you like to fish tuna and you're not using Gamakatsu Hooks, you're missing bites. The Nautilus Circle Hook comes in sizes as small as a number 4 all the way to a 6-aught. And for big fish, the Nautilus HD is tough enough, but not oversized. And both come with a ring or non-ring. See your local dealer or check Gamakatsu.com for more details on that. And we've got the man from Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, Mr. Brian Woolley. Good morning, Woolley.
Morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. How's everybody?
Great. Great to see Donna last night at the CCA event and honoring her dad and talking about how Frank's first job when he was 10 years old was working for Don Hansen.
Wow.
10 years old.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. That's the crazy thing about Frank is that I had to do the MC and introduction for him, or I shouldn't say I had to. I was honored to be chosen to do that. And so I interviewed Frank a little bit about, and he started with Don Hansen at 10, and then, you know, he went and worked for the Gray Shocks in Newport at 12, and then he worked for another guy at 14, and then he was running a boat at like 15, and then he owned his first boat when he was 23 years old, the Conquest.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's pretty amazing history there. But, Don, it was really cool to see Donna, and we talked about what a great job you do for Dana Wharf Sport Fishing.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, it's been a fun ride. It's love going to work every day, so it's been a good opportunity for sure. So for us up here this week, you know, May is always a weird month across the board, right? I mean, whether you're fishing off the beach, you're calico bass fishing, it's always a transition month. So for us, believe it or not, the best fishing for our landing this week came from Clemente with Marcus there on the Fury. This halibut fishing that's been going on over there has been a new deal. You know, I can't really think back to any years where they've had this really good fishing of halibut at the island, and it seems like it's been going on for a while here. So some of those tight, sandy spots along the back of that island have been kicking out some really nice halibut for Marcus there. Fish anywhere from like this 10 to 25 pound range, you know, catchable, good quality size on that fish. So he's had some days where he's been able to get in there when the conditions have been right and catch up on that stuff. And along with that, that rockfish opportunity over there has been very good. And then your typical players, the bass bonito, some barracuda, sheephead, and stuff like that, kind of in the mix. A little bit of yellowtail this week, no big scores on that. Again, they're seeing those schools, but that transitionary time of May is certainly, I would think, the problem with that stuff, not getting in the full bite mode over there for them. So to be continued on that San Clemente Island scene, but certainly if you want to go over there and see what this halibut fishing is about, I know he has some trips open this week, so keep an eye on that. And then here along the beach, the half-day stuff, again, was just a bit funky with a little drop in our water temp. You know, we were fishing 63-degree water last week, and yesterday leaving the harbor it was below 60. It was like 58.5, so it's kind of little fluctuations in those water temps is just enough to make that bass fishing a little tight. And again, little bit of a red tide too in some zones here through San Clemente and whatnot. So you can imagine it took a little bit of moving, a little bit of condition hunting to try and find the right stuff that would kick out some of that bass on the live baits and the dropper loops for those guys. And then three-quarter day, we're still kind of hammered on that rockfish. It was okay too, both along the beach here off of San Onofre and whatnot, kind of our traditional rock cod zones, and then out there on the 14. Couple decent days in that deeper zone. So that has still been the main focus of our three-quarter day trips has been that rockfish. So I'd say keep some heavy sinkers in your bags. When I mean heavy, I'm talking like, you know, pound and 2 pounds, kind of like that.
Ooh.
And then if the boat doesn't go deep to the 14, you know, you have your fallback of your 6, 8, and 10s to fish that shallower stuff on the beach. So our passenger loads will kind of dictate where we're going to fish that day, right? So if it's a day with a lighter load, we can get out there on that bank and drift that 100, 120 fathom stuff. It's been good. But, you know, as long as we see some upgrades in some of these conditions and stuff, we'll be able to start, you know, folding in some bass. But I think the main missing component here has been the sunshine. You know, we just haven't seen the sun consistently here. So we see some of that, the water stuff will straighten itself out, and we'll be good to go. But it hasn't been bad. It's just classic May conditions is what we've been dealing with. So give us a phone call here if you want to hop on a boat. Our number, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can hit us on the web at danawarf.com. And, again, don't miss that Fury opportunity. It's been pretty good out there. Mark, we'd love to take you fishing.
Yeah, it sounds like fun, man. Yeah, get on some of the halibut stuff.
Oh, man. I was talking to Matty Barlow on the Limitless,
yeah.
And he was saying they were crushing
the halibut
up to 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good
fishing.
So it's been fun to watch that stuff kind of transpire and get good, and it seems like it's been good at, you know, some other islands further up the coast there too, so it's just a good scene, no doubt.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. You know, and the older we get, the more we realize the ocean just revolves in cycles, and why not take advantage of the halibut while it's there, right? I mean, that's a cycle that may be with us for a few years, maybe not. I mean,
yeah. We'll see.
Go get them.
Go get them.
Never know unless you go. Right, got to go to catch.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks, Captain Brian Willie. Appreciate the report, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great week. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
Thanks for that. All right. You have a great text, huh?
I do, actually. Comes from...
While we're waiting for Gundy Gunderson?
Yeah, right, to continue off the fish report there. Always my favorite report, man. I want to hear what's going on in the surf. But this text comes from Daniel in Santa Barbara. He says, good morning, gentlemen. Captain John, as of late, you mentioned that the fish have been biting the smaller jigs. What would be your ideal setup for fishing the smaller jigs that could still handle a larger fish? And he asks, would you stick to a heavy rail rod with a 20 to 30 size reel, 100 pound braid, and 200 pound leader? He says, thanks.
I would. We scale it down a little bit. I think the leader we have with those smaller jigs was 130 pound, or even, yeah, I think it was 130 pound leader, and a little bit smaller reel.
Still a rail rod?
Yeah. You can still fish that heavy jig with all that bigger gear.
Yeah.
I mean, most.
But you said just don't go below 80.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Most guys are, you know, they're not coming out, at least with us, with multiple setups, so they're cutting a big jig off and tying a smaller one on.
Yeah.
So it works fine like that.
Yeah. And then do you have guys that do the slow pitch jigging stuff with the smaller reels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super effective, too. You know what? I'll be first.
Especially when the fish are like that.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not a guru at that at all, but yeah, that's super effective.
The guys that are good at it
do well, yeah.
And the tougher the fishing gets, like if there's five fish to be caught, the two guys doing it have probably had three of the fish,
yeah.
Or four.
No, those guys are, yeah, they're good. The ones that are good at it. If you're into that thing, I suggest like watch a YouTube video and figure out the proper technique.
Yeah.
Also, we have a lot of people that I think they're doing that, but they're not. Or they think they're doing that, but they're not. You know, watch a couple videos and get the technique down and get the right rod and reel setup.
Yeah,
but yeah,
for sure.
It works.
FishShimano.com has some great videos on that slow pitch.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Their YouTube channel.
And go back in on the Let's Talk Hookup app and look at the archives when Brian Wynn has been on here.
Yeah.
He was on here
a couple weeks ago.
And
some good listening there.
Just listen to it.
Listen to
it's
incredible.
The setups.
Yeah.
Brian Nguyen is just an awesome individual.
Yeah.
Very well spoken. Lays it out cleanly.
Yeah, absolutely. He does. Yeah. He has a lot of seminars on his website too. The Cigar FishGiannato.com too.
Yeah.
So some good stuff there. Hey, another great text here from John, and he says, Tom in University City. We lost his call earlier. He says, sorry, my call didn't get through early, but about 10 years ago, I was on a 3-day on the Islander, and then we roll up on a pod of orcas attacking a school of porpoise.
Wow.
John shut the boat down, and we watched them share their catch while they swam around the boat and crystal clear water. It was incredible, and he's wondering if you remember that.
I do.
How do you forget something like that?
Right?
Do,
that,
yeah.
That would be a darn bucket list trip for me right there.
Yeah, no, that was cool. We were coming up the line on the Royal Star like 20 years ago, and we came on a pot of orcas that we watched them kill a gray whale, and then they ripped his tongue out.
Really?
But they were right in front of us. It was just the crew on the boat.
That's
so we
crazy.
We were like 20 feet away, and we watched that whole thing go down. And then I do remember, I think we were below the Coronado Islands when that dolphin scenario went down. Yeah, I remember that.
That is crazy.
And that's one of the cool things about the ocean, of being the ocean and being a fisherman, is that you get to see stuff that nobody else will ever see by just being on the water, right? I mean, there's probably you can probably mention a few other things that you've seen, or there's just wow moments. Any other wow moments that have good memories and stuff that you've seen that, like, oh, man.
Yeah, God, my brain's a little scrambled to remember them now. Watching, like, sharks feeding on dead whales is pretty crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Obviously, the white shark thing is pretty wild.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the fish shows that we've seen. Watched a white shark eat an elephant seal once. That was wild.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you see all kinds of crazy things.
All kinds of crazy things on the ocean, for sure. Hey, let's continue our catch report, right, Corey? Your favorite spot.
Let's do it, man. We've got the surf guru on the line, Mr. Gundy Gunderson. Good morning, Gundy.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How you doing today?
Gundy!
Hey, that 60-degree mark is the big fudge right now, you know. We got all the players in the game, but, you know, we're just not getting that consistent, you know, real good bite. But guys are still, you know, getting out there and doing it, and there's still some really good catches, especially some big spot fin down south, and we'll get to that. More of the same this week, kind of stuck in the cool water. Anglers, despite the conditions, are putting some time in, and that's really what matters, and making some catches. This next week, real strong tides. I think full moon on Thursday, we got some more grunion runs. So eventually the gravity of it all is going to come together here. Hook, line, sinker reported a few more halibut catches, and this was a good sign. Some more quality fish, better quality fish. They had a 30-inch halibut taken near the sand spit at the harbor mouth on a drop shot fluke, which has been a good technique in the cooler water. And a 31-inch fish was taken at Goleta Pier on a hard jerkbait. I think a Duo Realis or something. There's so many hard jerkbaits now. The other report of note, up north there was a big influx of leopard sharks. The stretch from Rincon down to Summerlin was probably the best. And they're saying lots of nice fish, lots of 20-pound-plus class fish. So I imagine some sort of spawn is starting to take place. You know, May, that's pretty typical. Wiley's reported better action on the reef beaches in Malibu there. Anglers scoring a mix of yellowfin, croaker, sand bass, calico bass, perch, shallow water rockfish. Not wide open, but picking away. Squid and market shrimp have been the best baits there. Big rock, pescador, matador, good places to look there. Big fish reported the best fishing has been in and around L.A. Harbor. Good bay bass fishing, sand bass fishing, some halibut in the mix. The croaker bite's also been good. Sunset, Bolsa Chica, 72nd place, all good for that fish in there. And then Pacific Coast reported another big spot fin, 7-pounder, 7-pound on the nose, taking the top spot in the Derby, bumping off that 6-pounder. Taken at the Army Navy Academy on a big nugget sand crab. So that's jump. Something to watch there. That's quality.
You know, I have to tell you, Gundy, when they reopened the Oceanside Pier after just a couple days of being shut down, they had footage of guys catching, like, legit four, 5-pound spot fin from the pier.
Wow.
Yeah. Super cool to see. It's like old school.
It is. That's why that has actually been a hot spot in and around that Oceanside Pier here. That's several 7-pound fish in the last few seasons come from
that's
that.
That's a big one.
That's a really good one.
Good stretch of beach.
That's a wall hanger.
Yeah. Well, Gundy, it's such a great report. No joke. I look forward to it every week, and it's just you put so much hard work into it, and you're writing too. Have you got any good articles coming up?
Nothing in particular now, but I got some nice comments from the guys on that Corbina piece I wrote for Pacific Coast.
And how far back was that?
That was last month, I think.
Okay.
Fishing Corbina.
Sport fishing.
And there was just some, some inside information, you know, and one of the guys wrote in and said, I learned more from Gundy and one article than fishing for 5 years.
Well, there it is. So, all right, Gandhi. That's why we love having you on every week. And if you did miss the article, you can go back and look at it in last month's Pacific Coast sport fishing deal.
Yeah, we haven't seen those Corvina really active yet, but they're going to be. So it's, you know,
absolutely
time to get ready.
Well, we appreciate having you.
Great show, gentlemen. Always enjoy it.
All right. It's brought to us by...
Actually, hey, fishthesurf.com.
There it is.
Bill Varney and his...
The one and only.
Yeah. If you, it's time to get fishing at on the beach, so check fishthesurf or surffishtackle.com.
There it is. And with that being said, we're going to be right back with Let's Talk Hookup, more from John and the Islander when we return on Let's Talk Hookup app, the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
I've had the opportunity to fish many places in many different types of water, but never have I fished a place as much fun as Katmai Lodge in Alaska. Hello, my name is Harold Davis, typically fishing in the ocean, but this is an experience that you have to try for yourself. Fish natural rivers with tens of thousands of fish coming up. And they have all the gear. Spinning, bait casting, fly rods, kings, silvers, pinks, sockeyes, and my favorite, the chums. Outstanding food, outstanding accommodations, great service. The lodge is located in the beautiful Katmai National Park, filled with amazing wildlife. Brown bears, moose, eagles, otters, and it has spectacular scenery. And also the fact that the lodge is located right on the Alagnac River and your boat is just steps away from your room makes it great. Do yourself a favor, call Charmel at 1-800-330-0326 or go online katmai.com, and like Pete says, they will hook you up.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Back in 1979, my parents started Fast Lane Sailing Center. They lived in a VW van in the parking lot and sold catamaran sailboats. And over the years, the shop has evolved. They've sold everything from windsurfers to barbecues, paddleboards, and trailers. Here's the point. For over 40 years, my parents, and eventually me, my brother Jared, and sister Ava, have been in the business of fun and making memories on the water with friends and family. If something's in the shop, it's a product we use, are passionate, and knowledgeable about, and want to share with you. We encourage you to come down to our shop, Fast Lane Kayaking on Mission Bay, and check out our huge selection of Hobie Mirage kayaks, accessories, and more. And let's get you on the water, fishing with friends, enjoying the coast with your family, or exploring mountain lakes in solitude. In other words, having fun and making memories.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockcod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cate and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.